baptized into Christ, you are risen to die no more. Hear the word of God from Mark 1. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open, and the Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, a number of years ago, there was a fierce manhunt in California. A thief had stolen a VW bug. The authorities were so determined to get him that they unleashed all kinds of resources to find that one car and the thief who was driving it. They even resorted to broadcasting their message over local radio stations in order to find the thief and stop him. Why such a hot pursuit over this lone vehicle and this lone theft? Here's why. On the front seat of the stolen car was a box of crackers. But unknown to the thief, the crackers were laced with rat poison. The car owner had intended to use the crackers to kill rats. The authorities, therefore, were in hot pursuit of this thief because they wanted to save his life. These policemen were literally laying down their lives on the line to save a criminal. And that's a picture of what Jesus is doing for us in his baptism. Jesus is in hot pursuit of you, me, and all sinners. But our thinking is marred by sin. We think he's after us because he wants to pull us over, ticket us for our crimes, judge us, and throw us into prison and throw away the key. We view God as someone who wants to ruin our lives. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus pursues us because he loves us and he wants to save us. He pursues us because if he doesn't, we'll feast on the poison of sin, and sooner or later it's going to kill us. He pursues us because he wants us to live, even criminals. Jesus is placing his life on the line, and he is in hot pursuit of us to save criminals from dying and tasting the poison of sin, which is hell. And yet, that's why he's laying down his life for us. As Jesus gets baptized, he's hot on your tail and mine. You see, Jesus is baptized to become us in place of us. He's come to be baptized into the role of sinner and to become the greatest sinner of all time, even though he never sinned a single sin. He's taking all of our sin upon himself, and he's rolled up into one huge sinner for God to judge. In his baptism, Jesus takes on himself all that has gone wrong with you and me. In his baptism, all of our sins are placed on him like putrid, infected, filthy rags. This is how God has decided to save his broken creation. This is how his justice and righteousness is to go. Jesus joins us in our sin, not by sinning, but by God charging him with our sins. Jesus is being baptized in our sin so he can bear it to the cross. So in his baptism, Jesus is both the greatest sinner of all time and the greatest savior of all time. As Jesus is baptized, God's plan to make Jesus our substitute is going into effect. The sinless Son now stands in solidarity with you and me and all sinners, immersed in our putrid bathwater. All of our adulteries with our bodies, our minds, on the computer, all of our thefts, including robbing God by returning nothing to him or robbing others of their reputation by what we speak. All of our murders, if not done with our hands, then done in our hearts, as they say, if looks could kill. all of our lies, deceits, and slanders, all of our anger, resentment, and hate, all of our idolatries and playing God are in the water that Jesus steps into. And in his baptism now, Jesus is standing side by side with murderers, thieves, prostitutes, adulterers, idolaters, with Bob, Mary, Frank, Sally, George, you, me, you name it. On this day, God made Jesus to be a sponge, absorbing all the world's sins into himself. Remember, no matter how filthy the water is, sponges still absorb it. So did Jesus. On this day, Jesus becomes the greatest sinner the world has ever known. 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Talk about a God who cares. Jesus' baptism means that he hasn't washed his hands of us sinners. God is purposely putting all of our shameful, unthinkable yuck of our putrid, sinful, hideous lives onto Jesus. Sort of like metal shavings attracted to a magnet. God is putting all of the filthy garbage of those sins we hope no one will ever find out about onto Jesus as he's baptized in the Jordan. And what does it all mean? At Jesus' baptism, all of our sins are washed onto him, so that in our baptism, all of our sins are washed off of us. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and your children. At Jesus' baptism, all of our unrighteousness is washed onto him, so that in our baptism, all of his righteousness is placed on us. Galatians 3, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ, with his righteousness. At Jesus' baptism, our death in hell is washed onto him, so that in our baptism, Jesus' resurrection and salvation are washed onto us. 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus. At his baptism, Jesus is already taking up his cross, every bit as much as when the soldiers laid him on the wood and nailed his hands and feet. At Jesus' baptism, Jesus is borrowing sins that are not his own and a death that is not his own, but he's making them his own. So then in our baptism, we can receive a life that was not our own and a righteousness that was not our own, so that we can live forever by God's grace. So why do so few people know this? Actually, it's our fault. You see, Christians have a monopoly on the greatest news the world has ever heard. But we're not talking. We're living incognito. The church has the corner on the market, but we're not in hot pursuit of anyone. We know the good news. God was reconciling the world to himself, making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. But we're oftentimes so busy shooting ourselves in the foot in church or shooting others that we never get around to pursuing others. Not only do we know the good news, but only the church has the means to deliver Jesus' rescue. The word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and redeemed pastors and believers. So how do we pursue others? We step into the dirty waters of their messed up, poison-laced lives and tell them, do you want it to be washed away? Would you like to have a fresh start? You can. Did you know that Jesus took a bath for you and God says you're washed clean in your baptism because of his bath? If you and I saw someone dying and were able to help them, but we chose not to, you could actually be charged with criminal negligence. God pursued you and me. Jesus was the last one in the tub. Your sins were washed onto him. His forgiveness is washed onto you. We're pursued to pursue. We're saved to save. We're forgiven to forgive. We're loved to love. Don't view your baptism as a one-time event in the past that you can forget about. Don't view it as a lucky rabbit's foot and now you can sin as much as you want because you've got a piece of paper in your hope chest. No, your baptism is given you a, made you a new creation. And it is a bottomless well of forgiveness. Supplies are not limited. There's no expiration date. When your conscience condemns you, remember your baptism. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Luther would never say, "I was baptized," as if it was an event long, long ago from a galaxy far, far away. He would say, "I am baptized. I still am baptized. All of the promises of God still apply to me. All of the forgiveness of my sins still applies to me. I am baptized." And he would daily return to his baptism and use it against his enemies. May you and I use our baptism against sin. Sin, your lordship over me is over. Christ conquered you on the cross, and Christ gave me his victory in my baptism, and I will never let you forget it. Acts 22 reminds me, be baptized and wash your sins away. When sin attacks, remember your baptism. We have been united with Christ by baptism into his death, which is a death over our sins. Use your baptism against your death. Hebrews 2 says Jesus tasted death for everyone. But there's just one problem. They couldn't keep him dead. So he promises us in Romans 6, you have been united with Christ by baptism into his death, that is, his death over your sin. And if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Death, because you couldn't conquer or hold Jesus, you cannot conquer or hold me either. God gave my death a funeral in baptism and my sin a funeral in baptism, but he gave me a birthday. The baptismal font became my first empty tomb where I've already been raised from death to life. And it guarantees that I will have another empty tomb and another resurrection to life on the last day. And finally, use your baptism against the devil. Devil, you could never get Christ to sin, not even once. God says in Galatians 3, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Therefore, devil, until you can charge Christ with sin and get those charges to stick, you cannot charge with sin and get those charges to stick. So, brothers and sisters, God has pursued you, and he is still pursuing you, and he will continue to pursue you all the way to the grave to make sure that even as you are already his, you will remain his until life everlasting. In your baptism, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God says to you what he said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased." In fact, I'm absolutely delighted with you because united with Christ, you're as beautiful to me as my only begotten Son, Jesus. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith and a life everlasting. Amen.